The most conservative Islamic trend in Saudi Arabia may be losing some of its strength. Wahhabism is a school of thought named after a cleric who preached a form of Islam 200 years ago. It is overtly hostile to other religions and even to other Muslims. The royal family has been aligned with the Wahhabi establishment since the founding of the modern Saudi state some 70 years ago. Now there are signs that alliance is weakening. NPR's Mike Schuster reports from Riyadh, the Saudi capital.
Saudi Arabia is more than the Wahhabis, much more. That's the message that many intellectuals here are quick to tell visitors. Newspaper columnist Suleiman Al-Katlan insists those who continue to believe in the Wahhabi school of Islamic thought are a diminishing minority in the oil-rich desert kingdom.
People in this country are not only one particular group. We have absolutely diversity of backgrounds, diversity of a school of thoughts within the Islamic culture itself.
And like any other idea, Wahhabism is fair game for public discussion and criticism, Al-Katlan insists. Wahhabism takes its name from Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, who lived in the early 1800s. He preached a harsh and exclusionary form of Islam, hostile to Christians, Jews, Shiite Muslims, and even those Sunni Muslims deemed insufficiently pious. His disciples in modern Saudi Arabia believe those forces, now led by the United States, Israel, and their pernicious modernizing culture, are in direct conflict with Islam, says Michael Duran, a Middle East expert at the Council on Foreign Relations and a professor at Princeton.
They agree 100% with the radicals that the Americans are trying to destroy Islam, that the Americans are in a conspiracy together with the Jews to do so, a global conspiracy, and also with the Shiites. And there's Al-Qaeda, which is a vocal minority, that it's basing its critique of the establishment on those notions.
Osama bin Laden and others in Al-Qaeda were reared on these ideas and use them today as the ideological underpinning of their worldwide terrorist campaign. Until recently, it was impossible to criticize Wahhabi ideas in Saudi Arabia because the Wahhabi religious establishment has been allied to the Saudi royal family. But after the September 11th attacks, and especially after the two deadly bombings in Riyadh last year that left more than 50 dead, the alliance of the royal family with the Wahhabi establishment appears to be cracking, according to Mohsen Alawaji. Alawaji was a Wahhabi imam in his early years, but has since abandoned those precepts. He spent 4 years in prison in the 1990s for his criticism of the royal family.
In the past, the royal family used to ask those conservatives to give them some legitimacy, you know. Nowadays, the royal family are more open than those conservatives, you know, and the royal family believe that they need to modernize their way, you know, of governing, controlling the society by mixing these ideologies to show their modernized face internally and externally.
The issue for the Saudi royal family appears to be political legitimacy. In the past, the Sauds could claim to be legitimate rulers of all of Saudi Arabia, in part because of their alliance with the Wahhabis. Now they appear to be genuinely concerned that that alliance may do more harm than good. Khalid Abul Al-Fadl is a scholar of Islamic law, now at Yale University.
It's this constant game where you need religious zeal to anchor you in power. But at the same time, it's like playing with fire. And this religious zeal can quickly get out of hand and start threatening to burn you.
That's exactly what happened when the bombs went off in Riyadh. Some of the Wahhabi preachers told worshippers to support those attacks, and three were arrested. Late last year, they recanted their views on television. Mohsen Alawaji says the Wahhabi religious establishment was tainted by those who used Islam to argue in favor of the terrorists.
Nobody can appear and, you know, support these violences, you know. All of those who are supporting them secretly, you know, have no weight now, you know.
And as the upper reaches of the Saudi royal family have begun to question the alliance with Wahhabism, there appears to be more support for liberal reform in the kingdom. A national dialogue is underway which is taking on formerly taboo subjects such as extremism in the country, the oppression of women, and how the kingdom is governed. It looks like elections for local councils will take place next fall and women may be permitted to vote. Suleiman Al-Katlan believes that Crown Prince Abdullah and other senior members of the royal family are carefully going about building support for change.
I think the political legitimacy stems from the fact that the royal family in Saudi Arabia has become a symbol of the unity of Saudi Arabia. And the legitimacy of any government is not a school of thought, in my opinion.
Fawzia Al-Bakr agrees. 13 years ago, Fawzia took part in the famous Riyadh Women Drivers Protest, Women are not permitted to drive in Saudi Arabia, but she and several dozen other women drove openly. For that, Fawzia lost her passport and her job for 2 years. She and her family were vilified by the Wahhabi establishment. She doesn't believe that could happen now.
Even the religious establishment come to term with the fact that there is some very religious element which is has nothing to do with Islam. It has something to do with outside ideas or very explosive ideas that we want really to be rooted in this society.
Still, change occurs at a glacially slow pace in Saudi Arabia, but there is no doubt that for the first time, Wahhabism has become a topic for open discussion and criticism. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Riyadh.